It just let you know right up front, I'm preaching a whole different sermon than I promised when before this order of service was made. But I trust you'll be able to find beloved community and vulnerability in here somewhere anyway. So we'll continue to go with that title. My father is not a veteran of any war. He served as a private in the United States Army in a time of peace, from 1954 through 1958, just after Korea, just before Vietnam. And so it might seem odd that I'm going to lead with a story that is his memory, his story to tell, but I'm going to do just that because some of our fallen soldiers are not remembered well today, and I cannot think of a more appropriate place than right here to remember my dad's brother-in-arms, Private Sittman. The history of the name Private Sittman being thrown around in my family has been legendary. Every Memorial Day, every Veterans Day, at some point we all knew that my dad would raise a can of Dr. Pepper. Always Dr. Pepper. I have a diet here. My dad shows the real thing. And say to Private Sittman, "You are not forgotten." And he would take a drink. And then someone would laugh a little and ask the same question that had been asked every other time. "Who is Private Sittman?" And my father would respond with silence or a shake of his head, sometimes nothing more. And sometimes quietly he would say, "Private Sittman is a man that deserves to be remembered. And that was that. When I say that it became legendary in our family, I do not mean that as a high honor. It had been an ongoing joke for years. We all knew that Dad never saw combat and that his years of being stationed in Toul, France, seemed to us to have been filled with revelry and youthful indiscretions that he would never, ever in a million years expound upon to his kids who knew of him only as a pious, teetotaling church guy that he had become. We made up stories about Private Sittman. Was he a made-up composite of some kind? We searched the military records associated with my father and the men with whom he had served, and none of us ever found a Private Sittman. When we asked my father about that, he would say, "That's why I speak his name. You won't find record of it anywhere but in those who remember." And then he would change the subject, and we always let him. So only 5 short years ago, although it seems longer, I let my son skip school for a day to go to Springfield with me in Illinois to march in support of full marriage equality for all, which was a state-by-state issue still just as recently as 5 years ago. And when our bus returned to the parking lot of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Rockford, I decided that the slippery roads in that late winter day and the state of my exhaustion would make it better for us to just sleep over at my parents' home than to drive back to Huntley, Illinois, where I was living at the time. My mother was already in bed, and my son went straight to bed and to sleep when we arrived. And it was only my dad and me sitting up at the table having a little bedtime snack. And he said to me, "You know, I'm not so sure about this whole marriage equality thing. My family is still devout United Pentecostal. Not so sure about this marriage equality thing, but I sure was glad to see the military make a change on gay soldiers." "I knew one once," he said. "There's just no way what they did to him was okay, no matter what I believe the Bible says about homosexuality." We sat in silence as tears began to roll down the face of my nearly octogenarian Pentecostal dad while he told the story aloud for the first and only time of which I'm aware. It wasn't a long story because there just wasn't enough to make it any more dramatic than it was. very soon after arriving at his station in Toul, France, my dad had gotten to know a fellow soldier in his troop just a little bit. They weren't destined to become good friends. They knew that. My dad wasn't sure he even liked this guy very much. Besides that, as my dad said, we all thought he acted a little funny. He made an offensive arm and wrist gesture along with the word funny, intended to mimic effeminate behavior. I stayed silent because this was clearly not a time when he intended either humor or offense. He was just working with a framework that he knew. He struggled even to continue, and I wondered if he was regretting even starting this story with me. See, rumors had begun to generate about where this guy went when they all went into town on R&R, my dad told me. There was talk that some of the other soldiers had invited this soldier to visit brothels with them, and he declined even if someone else offered to pay. There were rumors that he split off from the rest of the guys to go somewhere else and wouldn't tell them where or why. Someone said that he was seen coming out of a bar known to be frequented by gay Frenchmen. There was talk he was one of those kind, and that he couldn't be trusted. And then one night, as my dad was lying in his bunk, he continued to tell me, not quite sleeping, several officers came quietly into the barracks, put something over the face of Private Sittman so that he wouldn't make any noise, and they carried him away. As my father recalls, they had come in a number indicating that they thought there might be some struggle, but Private Sittman seemed to offer none. They simply carried him silently away. Minutes later, others arrived who swiftly and quietly removed the empty bunk and all the belongings of Private Sittman. And while this was happening, my father swears he remembers the stirring and breathing of every man in the barracks, indicating they were all awake, but all pretended to sleep. And also he recalls there was no sound from outside except for one gunshot. In the morning, no one said a word. No one shared knowing glances. No one mentioned the empty space where the bunk had been, nor asked about their missing brother. Private Sittman's name was never again mentioned. It never again appeared on any rolls. His absence was never addressed. And by the end of their 4 years together, my father wondered aloud to me whether some of the soldiers had forgotten that Private Sittman had even existed with them in the beginning, which seemed to have been the design all along. But my father never forgot. Something I will never know about what a cold Dr. Pepper evoked in my dad caused him to remember. Here's to you, Private Sittman, every Memorial Day. You are not forgotten, he would say. My dad shared that story with me because he trusted that I would remember well. He's 82 years old now, and he wonders sometimes, I believe, about who will remember the things that should be remembered when he is gone. And so although it's not my story to tell, I knew for sure that in this place on this day, Private Sittman's name would need to be raised, because he's not forgotten. I wish I knew more. I wish my father had ever known this man's first name. He never heard it spoken. And the records I can find of the men who served in that place and that time with my father do not include anyone by the last name of Sittman. My dad was right. They wanted him erased. I'm here today to bear witness to the fact that it did not work. Private Sittman existed. Private Sittman mattered. Private Sittman changed my father and made him a better man. And my gay transgender son and I are most definitely the beneficiaries of knowing a man who is better than he would have been had he not known Private Sittman, who most definitely died in his own war. Remembering well It's sometimes not about having all the pertinent details or having a really compelling, detailed story to pass along. Some of our fallen soldiers are now only remembered through the decades by aging family who might not remember dates and even parts of names sometimes, or how their beloved sibling or child or partner sounded when they left. Some things fade in the human mind, but that does not mean we cannot remember them well. We remember well when the sacrifices that they made change us for good. We remembered well on this week 2 years ago as we listened to then President Obama speak during his historic visit to Hiroshima when he said, "That is why we come to this place. We stand here in the middle of this city and force ourselves to imagine the moment the bomb fell. We force ourselves to feel the dread of children confused by what they see. We listen to a silent cry." And so we remember all the innocents killed across the arc of that terrible war, and the wars that came before and the wars that would follow. Mere words cannot give voice to such suffering, but we have a shared responsibility to look into the eye of history and ask what we must do differently to curb such suffering again. That's what he said there that day. Elie Wiesel survived the Jewish Holocaust, in which all the rest of his family perished. And he said in his Nobel Prize acceptance speech a few years back, "Because I remember, I despair. Because I remember, I have the duty to reject despair." We remember well when we reject despair. We remember well when we reject a political rhetoric that sounds all too frighteningly familiar. When the words that are being said by some people in high places sound chillingly like we have revived old speeches and old documents, and simply replace the word Jewish with Muslim, the word Japanese with Syrian or Mexican or just immigrant, the word colored with simply black. When we force patriotism, as if forced patriotism is even real, we remember well when we reject the notion that this is somehow different and we refuse to be deceived. There was a large American flag that stood outside the sanctuary near where folks picked up their orders of worship at one of the churches that I was privileged to intern in a couple years back. And it had a small yellow card attached to it, which said, "In 1951, Florence Lounsbury, longtime member of the Congregational Universalist Church, donated a new silk 50-star flag to the church in honor of her son, Tom, who perished in the attack on Pearl Harbor." That's it. And I asked around while I was there some of the old-timers who had been around for many, many decades, and no one remembered Florence Lounsbury or anything about her son, Tom. But because they felt it was right and fitting to do so, the congregation in McHenry, Illinois, would say the name of Tom Lounsbury aloud in their memorial remembrance service every year, never fail. Not one person in that congregation remembered anyone in Tom's family, and yet they kept his name alive, and still they do it. Just like my father when he speaks the name of Private Sittman, and just as I will speak the name of Private Sittman long after my father is gone. I wonder now if there might be some names, no pressure whatsoever, of fallen soldiers that you would like to speak aloud in this space right now. I'd love to hear them. We would love to honor them with you. We will all be a little better for having heard their names aloud if you choose to grace us with the sharing. I'll be quiet now. It's your turn to remember.